This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. As counties around the state begin needle exchange programs to prevent communicable diseases, Huntington's program has been up and running for almost 3 months. As Clark Davis reports, the Cabell-Huntington Health Department's needle exchange has already helped hundreds of county residents, even though the executive director calls the help the program provides bittersweet.
Last week, a college-age woman sat in the reception area at the Cabell-Huntington Health Department, waiting to exchange used hypodermic needles for clean ones.
I think it's really great, actually. It's helped a lot of people. It helps people stay from diseases, and you know what I mean? And I just think it's really great, actually. They offer a lot of things here that help a lot of people, myself included.
She didn't want to use her name, but she was one of the 115 people who showed up Wednesday to take part in the program. She says she's been using heroin for a little over a year.
I just wanted to try it, and then it turned into, now I have to so I don't get sick sort of thing. You know what I mean? The fun part's kind of over.
She says she's using less and less to slowly wean herself off heroin while she's waiting for a spot to open up in a treatment facility. The Cabell-Huntington Health Department provides new needles each Wednesday. The program started at the beginning of September, and through 15 weeks, the health department has seen more than 1,000 clients. Of the 80 to 100 people who use the service each week, half are returnees and the other half are making their first trip to the health department. Cabell-Huntington Health Department Director Dr. Michael Kakilney says he has mixed feelings about how well the needle exchange program is doing.
It's hard to say that a service like this is a roaring success and feel good about it, considering what service we're providing and the level of problem that we are actually identifying because of the demand for services that we're having. We've far exceeded our expectations.
The program's purpose is to decrease the number of cases of diseases such as hepatitis B and C and HIV that are transferred through the sharing of dirty needles used during the injection of drugs, specifically heroin. The number of addicts who used the program grew so quickly during the first few weeks that the hours of operation were extended from 1 to 3. The needle exchange is now open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. each Wednesday, with nurses often working past the 3 o'clock hour. The sheer number of people who use the exchange convinced officials in other areas that the program was worth a try, areas like Charleston and Wheeling. Dr. Michael Brummage is the executive director of the Kanawha-Charleston Health Department. Through the first few weeks, his program only saw a handful of participants each Wednesday, but he says he expects things to pick up as word gets out.
While it brings them in the door for needle exchange, which itself is helpful in preventing hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and HIV, and other complications of sharing needles, including some terrible bacterial infections. We can also offer them services toward recovery. We can test them for STDs, and we can also offer contraceptive services.
Word of mouth and trust in the safety of the program are big factors in the Huntington Exchange's success. With police staying away, the nurses at the Cabell-Huntington Health Department have shown the program is all about helping the addicts stay as healthy as possible while they deal with the addiction. Jenny Irwin is a nurse in the Cabell-Huntington Health Department. She says they're starting to build relationships with the addicts who come back week after week.
And the people who are returns, we are building a rapport with them and, you know, can ask them, you know, how's your week going and that type of thing. And they can tell us, you know, if they have an issue. They feel more comfortable now, I think, showing us abscesses.
Absolutely.
Or issues that they have. They've been sharing with us a lot that a number of people that their skin is actually looking better because we're doing good teaching as far as skin care and how to rotate your sites and, you know, clean real well.
Dr. Michael Kakilney, the director in Huntington, says that when the city's program started, they estimated they would need $250,000 to run it the right way. The program still needs more funding, but has received $75,000 from the Benedum Foundation and $20,000 from the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources, and donations of needles as well from others. Kakilney says the goal is to offer the service in other areas throughout Cabell County, and new locations have even been scouted, but expansion won't be possible until more funding comes in. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:48. There's a chance of rain today. Temperatures will be in the 50s. Rain likely tonight with lows in the 40s. Another chance of rain on Tuesday with temperatures in the 50s and 60s. Rain likely on Wednesday. temperatures in the 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by WVU Medicine Children's Clinics and Hospital, serving the healthcare needs of all West Virginia's children, online at wvukids.com.
Throughout this holiday week, we'll preview the upcoming West Virginia Public Broadcasting documentary, Inspiring West Virginians, featuring leaders in science, technology, and business. Producer Gene Snediger brings us our first sneak peek, an award-winning scientist at WVU, working to make all of West Virginia's energy sources both productive and environmentally sustainable.
Recently in science, it was reported that West Virginia is a geothermal hotspot. Now, really, that probably would surprise a lot of you.
We know Professor Brian Anderson, a chemical engineer and director of the West Virginia University Energy Institute, giving a TED Talk in Pittsburgh.
But it is, in fact, a pretty good geothermal resource. So if we can find cheap...
37-year-old Brian Anderson, a native of Roane County, is a global expert on geothermal energy. That is, energy we get from deep beneath the Earth's surface, as he calls it, the heat under our feet.
A few years ago, some colleagues of mine at Southern Methodist University, in collaboration with Google, identified a hotspot here in West Virginia, where it really seems that the best geothermal resources here close to the East Coast happen to be here in the mountains of West Virginia. And so that really excites me for sure. A native West Virginian interested in geothermal energy, it just seems serendipitous. It's not the most economical here, but that's where we come in. That's where advanced research comes in. That's what we're trying to do, is find ways that it can be simultaneously environmentally friendly and economical, and can help us provide a new and additional energy source from the state of West Virginia.
In 2013, Anderson won the President's Early Career Award for scientists and engineers. Anderson is not just interested in geothermal energy, for which he received his PhD from MIT. He's the world's leading authority on gas hydrates, an untapped resource under the oceans and in Arctic regions. And as director of the Energy Institute in Morgantown, he oversees research into wind power, solar power, biomass, oil, shale gas, and coal production, among others. In fact, he has a passion for making all of West Virginia's rich energy resources both productive and environmentally sustainable. In the case of coal, it's a professional goal to make it more environmentally friendly, but it's also personal.
So my grandfather, my father's father, was a coal miner, just passed away this year. My dad grew up in a coal camp and just outside of Montgomery. I'm a West Virginian. I have coal running in my blood, and I am very mindful of what the resources we have provided to us and what they've taken away. So my grandfather, it was amazing. He lived to be 87 years old for decades of that with black lung. So for me, working in West Virginia is really a mandate. So I grew up for the first 11 years of my life on a road called Grace Road. Grace Road is between Reedy and Spencer, West Virginia, in Roane County. And about 2 miles out, Grace Road is a little community called Grace Community. And right within Grace Community is a little park. And also there at the park is this water well. It was painted green. It's the old hand crank type water well. On a hot summer day, running around in the park, there was nothing better for an 8 or 10-year-old to run over to that well, crank the pump really hard, because my arms weren't quite long enough to simultaneously crank the pump and drink out of the fountain. But I'd crank it really hard, and then the inertia would allow the water to keep flowing, and I would stick my head under there and get enough water. But that water was the cleanest and coldest water I've probably ever had in my life. And I've had water on 5 continents.
When Brian was 8 years old, his parents divorced, and when he was 11, he moved with his mother to Ripley, where he graduated valedictorian from Ripley High School, before going to WVU as a Foundation Scholar, the university's top scholarship for undergraduates. As soon as he finished his postgraduate work at MIT, Brian Anderson returned to West Virginia University to teach and do research. Nevertheless, other top research institutions also wanted Brian Anderson. They've tried to lure him away. In 2014, one almost succeeded, Gordon Gee, president of West Virginia University. Is it true that you sort of threatened him about what we were going to do to him if he left?
Yeah, I told him I'd break his leg, and he's a little bit bigger than I am, as you know. He's a wonderful, handsome guy and an opera singer to boot. We don't want to export our talent. We don't mind if they go other places, but we want to have them come home. And I think that that is an inspirational story, someone who has gone away, has performed brilliantly academically, and has had a great professional life in front of him, but yet who made a decision that West Virginia was his home, and he's going to come home and do well here and do right here.
You know, I have grand visions of West Virginia becoming a rich state, both rich in resources and rich in our healthy lifestyles. My hopes and dreams for myself really are that I can help contribute to finding energy solutions and do it to where three generations from now, we leave them the same beautiful West Virginia that we have today. You know, I just want to be a part of that.
A lot of that, I think, comes from the fact that he is a West Virginian, and we're dealing with West Virginia energy. We're dealing with West Virginia's future.
West Virginia is what made me who I am, and it's such an integral part of who I am that it really means everything to me. And it will never, never, ever leave me.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snediger.
Inspiring West Virginians is made possible by the ongoing support of the Miles Family Foundation, inspiring West Virginians to soar.
Listen to the full story about Brian Anderson and three others in the upcoming documentary, Inspiring West Virginians, Monday, December 28th at 8 p.m. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.